out to the phone lines now. Brian Barrett, BN Sports, joins us. Brian, thanks for giving us a couple minutes here, man.
No problem, man. Anytime. How are you?
I'm good. You got any big plans for the Super Bowl? What are you doing?
Well, I got a couple invites to go out, man, but I got to tell you, like, as a Patriots fan, I can't watch this out in public. I got to be, like, it's okay, like, if I was with, like, one of my brothers or, like, one of my close friends, like, that's okay, but I can't be with a group of people. First of all, I need to be able to hear the broadcast. And then, man, I am totally against any sort of Super Bowl party because it becomes about everything but the game.
Yeah.
Like, I understand this sounds, like, un-American, but it becomes about the chicken wings and the pizza and the seven-layer dip. And then you're like, hey, what just happened there? And somebody's in front of the screen. It's just annoying. I cannot stand Super Bowl parties. Although, if Jacksonville ended up finishing off that game 2 weeks ago, I don't even know how I would have watched this one.
You would have sat it out. I know you well enough to know. You would have just sat it out. And then you'd have to try to talk about it all week, and you wouldn't know what to do. Or you would just rip Blake Bortles in the process and just tear him down piece by piece. I like that you maintain your status, though, because the Brian Barrett I know is going to be watching by himself, sitting there trying to dissect everything while the rest of America parties and gets their prop bets in.
Yeah, dude, I'm an idiot, dude. I'll be starting like in a recliner, and then if the Patriots start playing poorly, I'll move to a different spot location. Like I just become obsessed. Like I actually think that I have an impact on the game. Although deep down, I know I don't. I still think that I have an impact on the game. By the way, to your, I heard your Montana take when we were coming in here.
Yeah.
Brady's got 11 more playoff wins than Montana. And then, you know what really irritates me, Jonathan, is, and yes, I can admit I'm a little biased towards Brady, okay? As a Patriots fan, I grew up with him my whole life.
Uh-huh.
But how about the fact that this argument that, oh, well, Montana never lost in the Super Bowl. So, like, we're supposed to believe that because Joe Montana lost, like, an NFC championship game, say, to the Cowboys or in the divisional round, like, it would have been better if Brady – say Brady loses today, knock on wood, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
If Brady had somehow lost to the Jaguars, it would have been better than losing in the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't get where this argument comes from. I don't get it.
It's the same argument we have with LeBron and MJ. If LeBron would have been – or if MJ would have been better in the late 80s and 1990 – then obviously he would have been to some more NBA titles and he wouldn't have won 6 out of 6 and he wouldn't have that as the clapback that everybody seems to have. I'm on your side with this. We started the discussion in the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We had somebody call up and say, you know, Joe Montana's the greatest to ever do it. And I said, you know, just Super Bowl appearances. Brady's at 8. Montana had 4. Brady's won 5 going on 6. Montana will never have more than 4. Super Bowl MVPs, Brady's got 4. Montana's got 3. And side-by-side numbers throughout his career, Brady's better. You can say whatever you want about the other intangible things, but as far as most accomplished, it is and always will be Tom Brady.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the other thing, too, with Brady is he basically built a dynasty in 2 different eras. Now, you can say, like, for the Rams Super Bowl, he was along for the ride, but going into 2003-04, that's where Brady really became Brady. And now he's back where he has an opportunity to win 3 out of 4 with a whole different cast of characters. Like, I just don't think we're ever going to see something like this again. I mean, it's really like if you had Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, if you want to consider him one of the best actors. But you literally have the best coach, so the best director, and you have the best quarterback of all time. I mean, it's just incredible. It really is just, it's mind-boggling to me. And then all these other arguments about, well, we always hear like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback of all time. John Elway was more talented than Brady and all this. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if a guy is more talented, like, the results matter more so than the actual talent. Like, I think it's a talent that Brady basically can drop down and throw the ball 50 times in a playoff game where he's 6-2, where he throws more than 50 times. The history of the NFL in the Super Bowl era, the rest of the NFL is 3-28. So I don't really care that Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger has a better arm than Tom Brady. Like, I just don't understand why there is an argument anymore about Brady. Not to mention Brady's now collected his 3rd MVP last night.
I just keep stacking hardware. It's so impressive all the way around. Let's go into this season though, because everything that encompasses it, the Alex Guerrero, WEI, Alex Reimer scandal, the early defensive struggles, the Seth Wickersham report, you had losing Josh McDaniels, losing Matt Patricia at the end of the season, everything they've had this year, the fact that Tom versus time continues to be the discussion, with a win today, with everything in the rearview mirror, the 28-3 comeback over Atlanta, would a win today be Tom Brady's greatest accomplishment?
You could certainly make that argument. You certainly could. I look at it because also the fact that, like, what goes along with this one is that 40, he's the MVP of the NFL, and if they win the Super Bowl, knock on wood, he would also most likely be the MVP of the game. So you could certainly make that argument, but, man, it's tough for me to go against 28-3 just for the fact that you were down 25 points. And look, the Atlanta Falcons certainly played a role in that. I mean, I cannot imagine, like, really, if you think about it, if the coaches just, like, didn't show up for the second half of that game, Atlanta would have won because they wouldn't have been able to make stupid decisions. So they were – I mean, they certainly played a role in that. But, yeah, I mean, this is incredible. But also what people are going to dispute about that is the fact that he beat Marcus Mariota, he beat Blake Bortles, and in this particular scenario tonight, he would beat Nick Foles. Although, you know, that doesn't tell a story about how great that Eagles defensive line is. But I would still go with the 28-3 comeback.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to. I wonder if it gets rewritten as we continue on this process of where Brady's all-time value is if he continues to win, so far into his 40s. Steve Buckley of the Boston Herald, I don't know what you think about him. Either way, he had an article today that said it's time for a big blowout victory for the Patriots in the Super Bowl because you look at their margins, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 4 and 6 in the most recent. You don't need a blowout, right? You just need to continue to win.
Yeah, they're 3-4 against the spread in the Brady Belichick era. So they covered last year. They covered the Seattle one. And then, of course, they lost the two Giants ones. They covered the Rams one. They were underdogs in that game, of course. And so, yeah, I mean, look, it would be nice, though. Like, as a Patriots fan, and I'm sure you know about the fact that Brady and Belichick and the Super Bowls have never scored in the first quarter of a game.
Yeah, it's 7 straight times.
You have the most decorated quarterback in the history of the league. They have not been able to crack the code in the first quarter for whatever reason it is. But no, I mean, you don't need a blowout to prove anything as long as you win the football game. Like, nobody cares that they only beat Jacksonville by 4 a couple of weeks ago now. But it would be nice that the Patriots just make a statement, and because it seems like the Eagles now are the trendy pick, and they're the popular pick in terms of bettors out there. Not the smart money, but the fan money is on the Eagles. So I guess, like, it would be nice for the Patriots to get a blowout win, but I think they'll take it either way. And the thing about the Patriots is they're the best team in the history of the league in terms of what they do at halftime. They make the best adjustments in the league. That's what they've done the past couple of big games they've been in. So, I mean, in all likelihood, it'll probably be a closer game than you would like as a Patriots fan. I guess that's good for America. They can enjoy the game. But, I mean, it would be nice. I would love to see a blowout. That would be nice, and I wouldn't be stressed at all.
Joined by BN Sports' Brian Barrett right here on 92.3 The Fan. I can really only present this question to you and feel confident you have a good answer because I know you on a personal level, and I wouldn't ask this otherwise. Where are the exact advantages for the Patriots over the Eagles here?
Oh, okay.
Outside of quarterback, outside of the obvious.
Right, okay. So let's go to the defense first. I actually truly believe that the Patriots' defensive backs match up really well against the Eagles' weaponry. So if you look at Alshon Jeffrey, historically, despite the fact that he's a big dude, he has struggled in terms of getting roughed up at the line of scrimmage. And Stephon Gilmore, although he was like persona non grata in New England the first month of the season, he goes out with a concussion. The team actually gets better. He comes back. He's actually played really well lately. Big dude. He's over 6 feet. He matches up well there. And then they've been using Malcolm Butler on the faster type receivers. So you'll see him on the Torrey Smiths of the world, the Nelson Aguilars of the world. Eric Rowe can also play in the slot, so he can take Aguilar. And then if you look at Patrick Chung, he's done a really nice job against tight ends this year. It's funny, Belichick actually said this week that, and shockingly said, he messed up the first time around. Because remember, Chung went to Philadelphia for a year with Chip Kelly, came back to the Patriots. So he's done a nice job with tight ends. Ertz is the biggest worrisome matchup for the Patriots just because he's such a difference maker in the middle of the field. And then offensively is that Eagles defensive line has an advantage over the Patriots offensive line. But if I look at what the Patriots can do, it's going to be what the Giants did. And I know you could say, well, look, you don't want to take anything from what Ben McAdoo did this season. But the one thing they did do is they spread those guys out and they got the ball out quickly. Now, the last game, I know McAdoo wasn't there, but Eli threw for 464. And then earlier in the season, he threw for well over 300. They put up 27 and I think 29 points on that Eagles defense. So I just will, the best thing about the Patriots is this. Most teams will continue to pay the tax, meaning they're going to keep running the football just to run the football. If Deion Lewis isn't making hay in the running game, they're not going to run the ball. They'll just spread him out and throw it. Just like the last two Super Bowls, Shane Vereen had over 10 catches. And what was it last year in terms of James White? I think he finished the game with like 13 catches. People are arguing him for MVP. So they'll just get the ball out quickly. I mean, that's what Brady and company do, because even if they take out one of the guys, okay, see, you match up well with Danny Amendola, okay, well then you still got to deal with Cooks, you still got to deal with Rob Gronkowski, and then you got the two backs out of the backfield. And make sure that you know about this. The Patriots always, always have a trick play ready for big games. We see it each and every big game they play in. I guarantee at least two flea flickers.
Two flea flickers? You're calling it out right now?
Yeah, I'm calling it out, too.
I like it. I like the aggressiveness out of you. So on that point, obviously we know the coaching staff is going to get dissembled at the end of the season. Belichick, Brady, if you had to put one that you put more importance on over the span, who do you take?
Oh, man. Oh, God. That one is tough. I'm gonna say it's Brady.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, I could see Belichick winning Super Bowls with other players, right? So if Jimmy Garoppolo, or actually, you know what, just take another quarterback in the league. You know, if it was Ben Roethlisberger, somebody along those lines, not even to the elite level. Like, I could see Bill Belichick winning Super Bowls with other guys. But to be able to win six of them, I don't think that would have happened without Tom Brady. Because if you really look at the Seattle Super Bowl, and if you look at the Atlanta Super Bowl, those are won because of Tom Brady. There's no question about that. I mean, as great as Belichick made adjustments in the second half and all these type of things, it was really about the greatness of Tom Brady in those two second halves. Even, I would even say the AFC Championship game, Jonathan, yes, the defense got better in the second half against Jacksonville, but that was about the individual greatness of Tom Brady just ripping up that Jaguars defense in the second half of the game. So I would lean towards the player. But I'm not trying to take anything away from Bill Belichick, because he's still the best doing it. But if I had to side one way why they have six, I would side more so with Tom Brady.
I mean, Brian, you're on Cleveland Radio. You can take everything you want away from Bill Belichick. We'll be perfectly okay with it, okay? There's still a lot of harbored hate towards Bill Belichick in that regard. All right, I've been doing a prop bet every single segment throughout the entirety of the show, so I'll leave you with this prop bet for today. You get this one. Okay. How many times will wardrobe malfunction be mentioned on the broadcast?
Oh, wow. What's the over-under for it?
Over-under is 1.5.
Give me the over. Al Michaels, man. He'll get it in. See, if it was Jim Nance, I'd say under, but it's Al Michaels. Al Michaels is definitely going over.
Nance,
and by the way,
true
man,
professional.
Yeah, for everyone that's putting money on this game, get it started early. Go with the pink, over 2. Come on. I mean, that's a gimme, right?
I mean, you would think so, right?
Yeah, you got to go over 2. By the way, don't you think, like, you could manipulate this one if you're pink. Like, you could just tell all your friends, hey, put 10 mil on this,
here,
and I'll go
okay,
over 2.
Here was my problem, though, is that I thought because she was sick throughout the week that she's got to go under, because she can't.
Oh, I
she
didn't know
can't,
about
yeah, she's been sick all week long. She's going to want to get in and get out and not blow it. The longer you're up there singing, the biggest chance you have to just make a complete fool out of yourself.
Yeah, that's true. But what about if she forgets the word and Mo Cheeks comes out and relieves her? Does that still count as the over 2? Remember, Mo Cheeks did that years ago.
They also breaks the internet, too. So that's like the most important part of that. If Mo Cheeks comes out and interrupts and starts singing, I'll lose it. I win the Super Bowl right there. Forget every other prop bet. Like, we all just collectively win. The other one I have that you might find interesting and I think might have insight on, will Pink show cleavage at all throughout the national anthem as far as her outfit?
I'm going to say yeah.
I bet, too. Yeah, right?
I think she's got it, right? I mean, it's the biggest stage. She's going to do it.
It's the biggest stage. You make sure you, and she didn't do it for the Grammys. That's what has me worried, but I put a big penny on her showing some cleavage.
Was the Grammys, was that the one where she's like climbing up a wall?
I don't know. I didn't actually watch the Grammys. I talked about the Grammys a lot. I didn't actually watch the Grammys. I looked up online, though. I Google imaged Pink dress from the Grammys, and she wasn't showing any cleavage.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I remember, I don't know if it was the Grammys or it was like the SAG, one of the million award shows, she was like climbing a wall. I don't even know what the heck was going on.
You got to do your research, man. It's what it all comes down to. Hey, Brian, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate the time.
Enjoy the game tonight. Brian Barrett, BN Sports. Always fascinating stuff.